Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we had been discussing chapter 7, the knowledge and wisdom. And we have seen that Bhagavan said that consciously or unconsciously, we are all seeking the Lord. We are all seeking who we are, where we came from. But some of us seek unconsciously, and some of us seek consciously. Those who feel unconsciously, obviously, they do not know where the answer is. Those who seek consciously, they are worshipping the Lord. That which makes the source of my being. And we have seen they can be classified in four. Out of this four, the Jnani is so firm in his conviction that his self is something other than this limited self. They need to find out what that is. But the journey from the ignorance about the self to the self takes its own efforts. So he said, Bahunam janmanam ante gnanavan mam prapadyate. After many years of sincere seeking, the Jnani who is sincerely seeking his own self, he finds the truth. And then he comes to the conclusion that Vasudeva deva sarvamiti, that nothing other than the reality, supreme reality, exists. There is no world and there is no I. All that exists is Vasudevas. Anything that I see, touch, feel, perceive is nothing but that one supreme reality alone. But he said, why we don't all feel? Because the kamehi taihi taihi hrutagnanaha, because of this desire and that desire, that knowledge which is inherently ours, we feel who we are, but that is taken away from us by this desire or that desire. And therefore now we seek the fulfiller of that desire. Who do I go and meet and say hello to him in a party? One who I think is going to be the most beneficial to me. Networking parties I'm talking about. That's where we go. We seek out, somebody may be coming very lovingly and say, Neil. I say, no, not right now. I need to go and talk to that guy. Because that's what I think my benefits are. I need to talk to them. Even in a social party, somebody whom we think is most important, we go and say hello to him first. Say, taihi taihi kamehi, with that desire and this desire, our sense of who we are is looted away, and then we seek that fulfiller of that desire. That's the devata. Where we consider the fulfiller of desire is the devata. They say, we worship those devata. And Bhagavan says, whatever your desire and whoever your devata, eventually comes from me alone. So, Bhagavan said that whatever you have faith in, that entity, that source will fulfill my desire, I make your faith even firmer. Because where does the faith come? Faith comes from my own attachment and understanding. My own consciousness, my own thinking is only possible because the Supreme functions through me as consciousness. Same consciousness which allows me to think makes me think over and over again in the same line of thinking, And it makes my faith firmer and firmer, more I think in that line. So I say, only science can give me the answer. More I indulge into that thought, more my faith becomes firmer. All these people are nonsense, you know. All these sadhus and swamis, as Swamiji himself said, you know, that's how he started. That these guys are just bluffing away their way, you know. Let me find, you know. So more and more we think in the same line, the same faith becomes firmer by our own consciousness. You know, so Bhagavan says, I make their fame firm. And then I said, more they, you know, worship that devata, they fulfill that desire. Sincerely, whenever I apply myself in whatever field, the success comes from that field. So Bhagavan said, wherever you, with your faith, apply yourself, your desires will be fulfilled. However, he said, all that comes from me alone. Sataya sraddhaya yuktaha tasya aradhanam ihate lavate cha tatah kaman maya eva vihitan hitan. No matter where you think this profit came to you, where you think this success came to you, no matter who you think helped you, Bhagavan said, that was your faith. That what made you think that it came from this. However, because I am the all-pervading Lord, everything that is coming to you from this different devatas are coming from me alone. I am the only source. Those who are in business, you have several different accounts and LLCs, and then you transfer this money from that and that money from that. Eventually, whose money that is? Your. Anytime you go out and do something, and Meena said, so how are you going to pay for this thing? I said, well, that's for NBJs. Oh, that's fine. You see, think the money coming from NBJ. Who is paying the rent here? NBJ. Oh, that's fine. Then I don't have to worry about it. You know? As long as you don't think that it's coming from me, but eventually it all comes from me, right? NBJ is me. This is me. No. But I feel at the time that it didn't come from the Lord. It came from this devata, this source. Bhagavan says all the sources eventually merges into me. So wherever you're, whatever the devata you're worshipping, wherever the results are coming, they all come from me. Labhate cha tatha kaman. You apply yourself into a field, into that productive potential, and you shall get the results. But know that all these results come from me. Antavattu phalam tesam tat bhavati alpa medhasam. But this alpa medhasam, the one with the limited intellect, they get the finite results. Antavattu, which is an end. No matter how much hard I try for something and get it, the joy will only last for a certain period of time. My standard example of buying a BMW, you bought the BMW, and that has ended. Pursuit has its own charm. Once you achieve that, when you reach the journey, the destination, the whole excitement of the journey is ended. They said, whatever this devatas you are worshipping, certainly you will get the success in that field, but the results you are getting are finite. It has its beginning and the end. I want to go and see a Broadway show I have never seen ever in my life, so next time I'm in New York, I want to see it. I'm all excited, but it has a beginning and the end. You go in the beginning, so show starts and so ends. After that, I'm back to square one. You know. So Bhagavan said, this people with the limited intellect thinks that their destination in this in finite happiness is. Therefore, they pursue this field of finite happiness and they get it. but they are finite. Devan devajo devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. One who is seeking for the small gains gets small gains. One who wants to hit a jackpot, he strives for that and reaches there sooner or later. So Bhagavan said, devatas, the bhaktas of the devatas, which all of us, you know, we have this desire and that, so we continuously pursue that, and because we put our efforts, we get that. But Bhagavan said, the one who seeks me, he finds me. And as simple as that. Gandhiji could have been the most successful barrister in South Africa and could have made all this money like all the other Gujaratis made at the time, you know. But he wasn't happy with that finite result. We would have never heard about Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi ever. He's a successful barrister, practiced in Durban and died. We wouldn't have nothing to do with him. But he wasn't going after the small results. He was going after what he thought is rightfully belongs to his countrymen. So he became immortal. He got what he sought after. So I say, that's why I say, be careful in what you think you want. You have this unlimited potential of realizing yourself, but we are happy with gaining the small results in our life. And even in sadhanas, they say, when you start meditating, those siddhis come to you, then you are pretty happy with it. Good example is yoga. In this country, the yoga is only for the physical. Patanjali didn't write yoga to make your body just enough fit. He wrote it to achieve the highest. But we are pretty happy with the little results we get. And therefore Bhagavan says, they just have a limited intellect in thinking where their happiness lies. And therefore they are pursuing those field of actions, those field of potential gain, and they get it. But that has a beginning and the end. Inherently we are seeking for infinite happiness, but we are applying into very small, finite fields of actions and expecting it to get the infinite happiness. And therefore we are going from sorrow and happiness, and sorrow and happiness, sorrow and happiness. Madbhakta yanti mamapi. Only my worshipper. In other words, the one who has decided that the small gains are not good enough for me. I need to find the ultimate truth which gives me infinite happiness. He will come to me. The last verse say, avyaktam vyaktim apannam manyate mam abuddhayaha. Abuddhayaha, one who has no intellect to understand what is the truth, which all of us. We have no capacity to understand. And why that is? Because the intellect is the only instrument we use to understand things. Intellect is a byproduct of ignorance. Ignorance creates who this perception of this limited being is me. This me, which is the body, mind and intellect, is a product of avidya, the ignorance. That ignorance creates this body is me, this mind is me, this intellect is me. That intellect is now trying to find out who the Lord is. I'm going to figure out because I'm going to reading Bhagavad Gita, then I'm going to open it, then I'll also read Bible and then Quran, and in the end I'll tell you who the Lord is. You know. He said, those abuddhaya, they think that avyaktam vyaktim apannam, they think that avyakta, the unmanifest, the Lord is pervading everywhere, but we can't really see Him. He is the substratum. Without this universe cannot exist, but He is not perceptible. So He is unmanifest. I come to think that He manifests. And therefore we have all this bhajans about Bhagwan, maine aapko dekha nahi, Bhagwan, and then we have stories about the Bhagwan came. If Bhagwan can come and stand in front of me, and I am also standing here, and the rest of the world also standing, Where is that unmanifest? Therefore, I said, only the one without that understanding, that unmanifest can never manifest. Unmanifest remain unmanifest. But I am seeking that. Therefore, I say, oh no, this is Bhagwan. I remember, I think one of these Balvihar child, he has probably seen in his house the pictures of Swamis. So when Swami Dhirananda was here, they came to our house and then went back to and say, Mom, the God had come to Meena Aunty's house. Because to the little child, is Swami wearing a saffron robe is God. There's the picture he has seen is Bhagwan. The God had come to Meena Aunty's house. So what does Mom say? Mom said, no, no, that's not God. That's Swami Dhirananda. For the child, the God who is manifested. Mother said, no, no, that's just Dhirananda. Okay. That's not God. Us in our small intellect think that God manifest as Jesus, as Krishna, as this. Bhagavan said, I remain unmanifest all the time. So he said, Param Bhavam Ajanantaha Mam Avyayam Anuttamam. Knowing a guru, knowing a prophet and think, this is it. He is the Bhagavan. Swamiji said then, if that's the case, whoever ever went to temple and saw a murti, he never had to find any truth. He found the Bhagavad there. Or anybody who found a guru, he never had to do anything. He already found the truth. He said, no, they are just indications. Unmanifest remain unmanifest. And this limited senses, mind and intellect has no capacity ever to understand it. Only the one with a limited intellect consider him to come to manifest. Unmanifest, remaining unmanifest, the Maya creates this perception that he manifests. Param Bhavam Ajananta, they do not know my higher nature. They think that knowing this manifest world, I'll find out. That's why I say, okay, what is Bhagavan? Astada Prakriti is okay, I know all the Astada Prakriti. Mind, intellect, ego, I know all of them. Now I know Bhagavan. The sum total of all the manifest world is not Bhagwan. If I know all the parts in a machinery, that does not make me the expert in that machinery. The guy who is in a parts department, selling parts every day, for whatever the BMW or a machine, he knows every part. He knows A to Z what parts belong to that machine. But that does not make him know anything about that machine. It's only the engineer who has the supreme knowledge of the higher nature of the machine, how it functions. He knows what the machine does. One who knows all the parts, he can only have the inventory of the parts. We think that knowing this manifest world, we will come to know the Lord. Bhagavan says, you will just will have an inventory of this Prakriti. But you will never show the Param Bhavam Ajanantaha, he will never know the higher nature of my being. Avyayam, that is immutable. That my higher nature, which is unmanifest, immutable, imperishable, that cannot be known through intellect or mind. And therefore Bhagavan says, in the previous chapter, meditation is the only means to be conscious about your own self.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.